Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Now Sabbath Gathering Online Ministry and with Apostle W.J. Armstrong. I want to thank you for tuning in this day, and I want to thank you for opening yourself up to the teaching that was inspired by the Holy Spirit for a time as this. For a time as this. Let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this time. And as we open your word on Psalm chapter 2, or the second Psalm, we ask that you release into us your Holy Spirit, and that it will bring truth and lead us into all truth. And open the eyes, and open our eyes and ears, because I'm a hearer just like everybody else, what the Spirit has to say to us today. In the name of our beloved Son, your Son, the one that we have chosen, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Last time we were together, we talked about a couple of things. We saw in the psalm, and we dealt with verse 1 through 6. And the first group had dealt with the rage of the nations and the wrath of God. It started out with the nations raging, and it ended with the Lord God laughing at the way that they were carrying on. For you see, the people, they call themselves defying God. They call themselves doing what it is that they wanted to do. They had no regard for the word as written. And that's why, because of the nations rebelled, and that's why the question was asked, why do the nations rage? And it goes on then from there, what they were doing or what they did. And then it talks about who the kings of the earth and the rulers, they took counsel together and together who against the Creator and against his anointed ones. And then we go down to where verse, that was the first and third, verses 1 to 3, then verses 4 to 6, that's where we see the Lord laugh from heaven. And he sits on his throne and heaven, and then he held those humans, he held them into accountability, and then he spoke to them, and he let them know that he was displeased with what he saw and what he heard, and then he made it clear that he set his king on his holy hill of Zion. And that's sort of where we ended. And he said, God wants defiant mankind to know that he has established a king. And we say, looking defiant men, closed in view in the songs of kings and rulers, and God especially want them to know know what? That there is a king greater than they are, and that he is the one that established that king. So now we are starting today at verse 7, and we'll read it. Verse 7 reads, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now, if we look at verse 7 there, we see that there's a footnote. It says, I will declare the decree. And then the footnote says, or decree of the Lord, he said to me. And we have to be clear of who's doing what here. And then 8, it says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the end of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter vessel. That's up to 9. Now let's get into this. What is he saying? What is he saying? And why do we think he's saying what he said? And now let's just pause here for a second, too, before we really get into this, and look around us. What do we see? And based on the last time we were here, what the word was, were you able to apply it to situations and circumstances around you or that was happening anywhere on this earth? And today, we're going to just dwell a little bit more into this. He says, I will declare the decree. Huh? He's declaring a decree. And what is it and why is it? So what is this passage really saying to us? He's saying that the Lord announced him, anointed himself, speaking. That's who's speaking. It's identifying who's speaking now, who's talking. And he said, what did he say? He said, he, God, declared the decree that God the Father spoke to him. So we want to make it clear, it's not the human, that's his God has, he's the one that declared the decree. Not, people say David is the author of the Psalms. It wasn't David. And God the Father spoke to him and let him know who has the authority and who's speaking now. Based on what that taken place in the past, when we talk about the nation's rage and how the kings and the other rulers came together and they began to do what it is that they wanted to do. So if we apply that to our situation and circumstances today, we see that those people who are in authority, today they're coming together. Today the nations are raging. And it goes on. It says, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now, the Lord does what? The Lord's anointed. Recall what God the Father spoke to him. Identified him as the son of the Father and emphasized his standing as begotten of the Father. And see, now we go and begin to look at this. We see that in Hebrew. Quotes from this passage also in Hebrew, chapter 1, verse 5, as evidence of the deity of Jesus and superiority of all angels. He mentioned the more excellent name, Jesus, and which is Yeshua, and who we call the Messiah. And he's making it clear now. And he's telling people that his son, his beloved son, has been elevated. He's elevated higher than the angels. And see, if we look at Job chapter 1, verse 6, we see the Son of God there is more generic sense, where the Father said, my son, to any angels. You know, he's clear that my son, that is there for God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, as we look at this and apply it across time and space, if we see begotten, begotten, we look at the word begotten, we see that it's a contrast to created. So Jesus was not created. Rather, he created everything that was created. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, 17. See, begotten describes a relationship between two beings of the same nature. To create things of a different essential. In other words, here what it's trying to say is, here the Creator is elevated higher than the Son, that the Son, who we now say that is part of the Trinity, but when we look at this, begotten. So one existed before the other one. In other words, for the Son was begotten by the Creator, by the Father. And they're making it clear here. It's when you look at the relationship, look at this in terms of a relationship. My son, I begot my son. So I was here before my son was here. Now, I want you to think about this. And when I started looking at it this way, the little light bulb started going off, because I started understanding the relationship between the Creator or the Father and the Son. And that's why lots of things that the Son says that was clear to me. And whenever we read, especially over in the book of John, the Son, he clarify and make it clear the relationship between him and the Father, what that relationship consists of. He did not glorify himself. He glorified the Father and waited for his Father to glorify him. And he said that he gave the disciples that which the Father gave him, and they received it. And so, you know, we have to look at relationships now. It's what I'm trying to get over today. Relationships. Relationships. Well, now we can look at things and see things in terms of relationships, then we're able to understand what is being said and how to apply it to our everyday living. And he told his son, he said, I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Now, we go back to Father Abraham and what the Creator told him, that he was going to make all these people. That's why we relate to Abraham as our father, Father Abraham. Not that he's elevated. We don't elevate him higher than God. We don't make an idol out of him. We don't worship Father Abraham, but we understand what that relationship consisted of. That if Abraham had not have responded to the Creator, to the Father, the way he responded, then we would not be doing what we are doing. There would not have been any chosen people. And when we look at this and come into understanding, and Abraham was not a believer. Abraham came out of a setting where his father was into idolatry. But Abraham, when the Creator spoke to him, he understood that those idols couldn't talk, that there was something that was greater than those idols. And I can imagine that is one of the reasons he responded. At least that would be the way I would deal with it. And he said, if we said now, you see this over, repeated over in the book of John, John chapter 5, verse 22, which said that the nation is his inheritance, and the beloved son will rule over all nations, and all judgment is committed to him. You see, so now, what are we saying here? We start out with the nations raging, they were disobedient, the kings and the rulers was getting together and doing what they wanted to do, being disobedient. And the Creator, the Father, laughed at them. And now we're seeing why he laughed at them. And they will be judged. They will be judged. Because he wanted his king, anointed his king. And that's the king that was talking about back there is the one now he calls his beloved son. And see, if we go on to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, in that we see how it describes this exciting consummation of this inheritance. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, he's establishing his kingdom in the earth, because that's what he's talking about. These kings are and these rulers are here in the earth realm. And he said, punishment, the consequences that the nation is gonna feel, or the consequences for their behavior. He said, you shall break them with a rod of iron. And he said that the Lord's anointed has power over the nation. That's the power. And it says that they are like clay pots that he can shatter with a blow from a rod of iron. He's describing, the Creator, the Father is describing the power and authority that he has given to his beloved son, and how how strong and powerful that authority is. When he exercises it. And see what that does, that shows and tells us how foolish and how ignorant and the nations who defy the Lord, who defy the King and His anointed. And see, there's no benefit in defying or being disobedient, that there are consequences. And the consequences is they will be judged. And if we look at what's happening now, man is judging these people for their disobedient behavior, for breaking man's laws, and they are, some of them are adamant that they didn't do anything wrong and that they are being unjustly treated. But when we line it up with what the Word has said and how they have been disobedient, then we understand what's from a spiritual perspective of what's going on in the earth realm now. And because of that, we are not concerned. I mean, we are not fearful, because judgment is coming down on those people who were disobedient. And then we go to verse 10 to 12. It says, "The decree to the nations about the Son, now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, because the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled, but a little blessed are all those who put their trust in him." Now, whenever you read that, when you hear it being read, what comes to you? What comes to mind? I know what came to my mind. Clear that the warning was given back there in verses 1 through 9. The warning was given because the Creator doesn't do anything without warning, giving you a warning. And he spells it out what that warning can consist of, at least the power and authority that comes from that disobedience, that one had did. I was, one second. "Now therefore be wise, O King. Be instructed, you judges of the earth." Now, what is that saying to you? What it's saying to me is that kings, you who are rulers, you should be wise in the things that you do. You should follow the instruction. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. He's making it clear. And then what does he say? Serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. He's spelling all out how, what you could do to prevent yourself from coming under judgment. Don't defy the Lord. Don't defy the God. Be wise. And he's making it sure, I mean, making it clear to the kings. And instruction, where do you find instruction? You find instruction in the holy book, the laws. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he was clear. He says, and he was dealing with people who were being rebellious, who were being disobedient. And he told them that the Lord only requires three things, that he, the God, the Creator, only requires three things. One, be just. Two, show mercy. Three, be humble. And whenever we see that, those three things really, we can see them throughout the holy book. Justice, or be just in your dealing with people. Whether you're a merchant, whether you own a Fortune 500 company, whatever, be just. So those companies who are polluting the air, those companies that are putting chemicals in the water, supplies that people have to drink, consume, there are consequences. You may be getting away with it now, but he's clear that there will be a day of reckoning. And so you go back up and you read what he said. And it said, you shall break them with a rod of iron. And now he said, to prevent that from happening, therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. We have these judges now that are sitting there like playing God, like we don't have to, we can make up our own interpretation of this now. What stood for years, it's we can, even though there's a policy, time to change that and give our own interpretation on it. And the Voters' Rights Act was one example that come to mind that the Supreme Court justice overruled. And the other one now, they're talking about the one that's before the affirmative action. But frankly, I don't mind them doing away with affirmative action. Maybe then people will sit down and begin to look at, now, they don't want us over there. They bring us in. We hardly graduate. But we could go over here. We could graduate and get just as good an education and probably better education over here, because we are the place where people love us. We're the place where the people are just, where people have mercy. And it's amazing how people subject themselves to situations and circumstances that does not affirm them. And I look at what happened and when they stormed the Capitol. I mean, we just apply this and we can see what was happening and come into understanding in terms of where is the Creator in all of this. You know, sometimes we ask that question. And if we don't ask the question sometimes, we will never find an answer. So, AIDS, the same standards applies to those who are in authority as those who are not, those of us who are not. And the authority, the judgment is going to be just as harsh on those of us who profess to be the spiritual leaders, and we are not giving the people, you the people, the word according to the way it is written and according to the way that the Holy Spirit has given us to give you. And we sometimes, we have this tendency, excuse me, I don't know what it is, whether it is my sinus of what is going on. Excuse me again. But in bringing this to a close, it is best to be obedient to the word. It's best to do things according to the teaching of his beloved son, who in the end is going to be our judge anyway. And if we're doing it according to what he gave the disciples, as written in John chapter 17, then we don't have any reason to fear, any reason to fear whenever he brings judgment, when we have to stand in front of the judgment. And there won't be an opportunity for us to complain and try to convince him that the lies that we told weren't really lies, that they were the truth. And that's what's happening in the earth realm today. Now, no one called in today. Therefore, this brings our message to an end. And it brings the discussion, the one-sided discussion on Psalms chapter 2. And as we have had this conversation today, those of you who listen via computer, if you have a question or if you have a comment, you can always email me. Well, this is my personal email, but give it, just go to talkingdrums12@gmail.com. Or you can send it to crowntalkingdrums@gmail.com. Either one will come into the station and I will get it. And the other one is a more general one that we bloggers will be able to access it. talkingdrums12@gmail.com. I thank you. God bless you. And I trust that something was said that enlightened you and helped you as you make decisions about what is happening around you, and you are able to be in that quiet, comfortable place. Until next week, shalom, shalom.